While I'm turning to this, I was told that Mary Forrester is in Kirkland, I believe it is, in a rest home or a rehabilitation center, and she's apparently doing fairly well as can be expected. If you have specific questions or have more information, want more information, you might see Wendy, or you might talk to some of the other ladies whom I'm sure would know the details of the situation. Ephesians. One of the commentators that I read claimed that this is the book of mystery. This is a book of mysteries. Our brother Rocky, a week ago, gave an outline that you may still have. And for the portion that we have before us today, he says the subject is the praise of every spiritual blessing. But I wanted to tell you, I also think the book of Ephesians, along the lines of what I said earlier, is a book where the mysteries of God are enumerated. Sometimes there are some things that we can accept by faith, but we don't fully comprehend them. We don't fully understand everything that is behind them. And I think this portion this morning is of that kind. We're going to look at the spiritual blessings, to be sure. But some of the things that are listed here, we don't understand. For example, a simple term that we all use daily is grace. And yet, how can a righteous and a holy God have grace for a sinner? We don't fully delve into that. We believe it, we accept it by faith, and we believe that it's true. The mystery then that I think we find primarily in chapter 1 is God's will. The mystery of God's will and how he has carried out his purposes in our lives and how it relates between the God's will and the decisions that man makes and his responsibilities to God. In verse 9 and 10, which we'll get to a little bit later more fully, all things in heaven and earth, heaven and earth, are headed up in Christ. Later in the chapter, he's going to explain to us how the Jews, believing Jews, and believing Gentiles enter into God's will and enter into God's life. And we'll talk about that in verses 11, 12, 13, etc. But let's read the first verse of our portion today in chapter 3, or chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be God, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. blessings that we can receive from God our Father and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us. He has blessed us with all spiritual blessings. He has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. He has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. That's a portion that I have maintained we don't fully understand. We don't fully comprehend. We can't take in yet, at least, what blessings God has for us, what blessings God has given to us, and what blessings will be given to us in the future. But here we see that we're talking about spiritual things. Here we see that we're talking about things that are in heavenly places. We're talking about things that have been provided to us through Christ. The transmission or the gift to us is because of what Christ has accomplished on Calvary's cross. Now, as we start down through this portion, the book lists some of these elements that are blessings, lists them primarily in the idea of the believer's position, and his position is in Christ, and he wants us to enter in. So in verse 4 we read, accordingly he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him, that is God, in love. In the Old Testament, in Deuteronomy chapter 28, the Jewish nation and Jewish faithful were told to be obedient, to work hard, and to do various things with their crops and take care of themselves and in a very physical way. And they were given that responsibility, and they were told that their reward would be long life, a large family, abundant crops, and protection from their enemies. Those are all physical blessings. Those are all physical things that they could achieve by living their life the way God had proposed that they live their life in this earth. But here in our portion this morning, we're talking to those who have been saved through Jesus Christ. And now we're starting to look not so much at the physical world, but at the spiritual world, at the world that Christ is trying to give us and has given us if we'll simply follow him. In fact, in this book, it's mentioned 27 times that we have these things in Christ. In Christ. They're spiritual in nature. They're here because of what Christ has accomplished for us. They're not material things. They're invisible, most of them. And they're in heavenly places. And that phrase is repeated 5 times over, that it's in Christ, but in heavenly places that we're to have these things. Now, the first thing that the apostle elects or decides to talk about is that we have been chosen in him before the foundation of the world. You say, how is that a blessing? You know, God had always intended that man should fellowship with him. He did the creation. He created the earth. He brought man, created man, and he put him on this earth that he might live and fellowship and enjoy communion with God. That was God's purpose. So before the earth was even formed, God determined that he would choose those, I want to read that, had chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. Now there's two ways that this gets looked at by people who read this verse. He has chosen us, that is, he has chosen those who come to Christ to communicate with him and live with him, have their sins forgiven. And so from an eternity past, he had it in mind that there would be a people and that those that people would live for Christ and fellowship with him. That we should be holy and without blame. Now the problem becomes that we're not perfect. We're not easy to live with. We're dead. But God says that if we come to him, if we accept him as our Savior, we will be made perfect. He will remember our sins no more. And we see that also in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 14. In Romans chapter 6, we read that we're dead to sins. And in 1 Peter, we read that we're a peculiar people, that we're a holy nation, that we're priests and kings to him. You see, that is part of what God had chosen that would be set up in the world around him. Second Thessalonians, we read that God does choose men to be saved. We read that we are elect. Those that become saved are elect according to the foreknowledge of God, in 1 Peter 1 and 2. And in 1 Thessalonians, we also read, we are elect, do you hear and believe? Now, man has taken this verse and used it in different ways. As I've just presented to you, I believe that God had set up this whole system, if you will. It's a mystery. I don't understand it fully. I don't mean to imply that I understand it fully or why God did it this way. But this is a part of the mystery of God. But there are those that say, no, what this means is that you're chosen in God and that you're either going to be saved and you don't have to worry about it, or you're not going to be chosen and you're not going to be saved. I don't believe that's totally the story that we have here. That's totally the blessing that we have. The Bible never teaches us, any place that I can read it, and you can certainly talk to me afterwards if you think it's contrary to your thinking. The Bible never teaches that God chose man to be lost. He sent his son to Calvary's cross. He provided a way that we can be saved. I believe God maybe understood and knew primarily who would be saved. But the choice is still yours. The choice is still before you. Unbelief in what God says is the gospel. Unbelief in the Lord Jesus Christ and his death on Calvary's cross is what causes men to be lost. In John 3 and 16, it says, whosoever will. So you have that opportunity to accept him. In verse 36 of that same chapter, it says, he that believeth hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not does not have everlasting life. In John chapter 5, and I better read it, and verse 24, John chapter 5, verse 24, we read the words of Christ himself, who say, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not see condemnation, but is passed from death to life. In Romans chapter 10 and verse 9, and again in verse 13, the invitation is very clear that Christ and God want you to be saved, want you to come by faith, want you to accept Christ as your Savior. Over in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9, we read, not rendering evil for evil, or railing for railing, but contrariwise, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit eternal blessings. My friend, God chose to make a way for man to be saved. God chose that there would be some that would come to him before eternity, before the foundation of the world. But it's up to you and your life what you're going to do, whether you're going to accept Christ as your Savior and enter into what God has provided, and he planned it and provided it even before the foundation of the world. But that's a spiritual blessing, isn't it? To know that you can be saved. To know that you can have eternal life. To know that God has provided a way. And he planned it, and he made it before the beginning of the foundation of the world. The next verse we read sometimes gets mixed in with this verse that we've just had. Having predestined us to the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, having predestined us unto the adoption of children. Again, man tends to run these things together, confuse them, and it sometimes comes up with the conclusion that if I'm supposed to be saved, I will be saved. I don't have to do anything about it. I can go my way. I can live my life. And if God wants to save me, he'll save me. What a terrible, terrible attitude to have. And that's not what is taught in these verses. You still have the free will. You still have the responsibility to accept Christ as your Savior, to recognize that he died for you, that he paid the penalty of your sins, and that you must believe and you must accept that if you're going to have salvation. It's not going to be an accident at the end of your life. It's not going to be something that's predetermined that you're automatically going to be saved. If you reject Christ, he will reject you. He will say, depart from me. I never knew you. But here's what we are predestined to, and what he means by this portion in verse 5. We're predestined to become the adoption of children. That's a special place. God could have said, if you come to me and accept me, yes, I'll accept you as a Christian. Now sit over here on my right side and make yourself of little consequences. Don't worry about it. But God didn't say that. God says that if you come to him and if you accept his son as your savior, you're made heirs. You're made given the adoption of sons. You have a new position, as we were talking about a little bit ago in 1 Peter. You're made a peculiar people. You're made a special people. You're made kings and priests. You're offered the opportunity to be an heir and a son. That's a lot closer than somebody that's just inside the gate. And God has predestined, God has predetermined that any that come to him will be able to be sons and heirs. What a blessing. What a blessing you have. Oops, like I said before, what a responsibility. You see, with each of these blessings, I believe there becomes responsibilities that each one of us have in our life. Now, I've said at the beginning of my talk that there are a lot of these things that are mysterious. I can't understand them. We had a great remembrance feast this morning, and we entered into our relationship with God through Christ. We entered into what God, Christ, provides us and gives us, and we could praise him and thank him for it. But God had always intended that we should live a life such as that. And it's ours if we take advantage of it, if we walk upon the scene. We can't lose the adoption. We can't lose the sonship. We can't lose being heirs. But we don't have to live it to its fullness. And if we're careful, it's very easy. The world will see to it that we don't enter in any more than what Satan wants us to enter into, being such a position before God. And so we see here that we've been predestined, have the opportunity, if we'll accept Christ, children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. He was willing. He's willing. It's a good pleasure of his will that he gives us such a position, such a special position before him. To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. Another blessing that is ours if we come to Christ. Another blessing that's in spiritual places and in heavenly places and will exist throughout all eternity. And as we said at the beginning of the last hour, grace is one of those blessings that I don't fully understand. Why God would love me so? Why God would provide a way for me? I mean, I didn't live a terrible life before I got saved. I'm not trying to tell you, you know, I was in jail for 16 years or anything like that. But my point is, I had no love for Christ. I was going about my business as I wanted it to be. But by grace, Christ overlooked that through faith in Jesus Christ. God overlooked that. And he brought us into these spiritual places and spiritual blessings. and gave them to us. Why he did, I can't tell you. I can't tell you. That's part of one of the mysteries, as far as I'm concerned. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. We have redemption. We have grace. We have sonship. We're heirs. We've been made so that God can take us in according to his plan. And so it is that these are the blessings that we have in Christ, wherein he hath abounded towards us in all wisdom and prudence. I think God wants us to read his word. I think God wants us to study and to learn as much as we can from him. I think God wants us and abounds towards us to point us and direct us and help us to live a life that is according to his will. And that's part of the blessings he's willing to give us in spiritual places. Not only are we accepted in the beloved, there is forgiveness, there is redemption through his blood. And in grace, he chooses us. He predestines us. He redeems us. He has allowed us to have insight into the future, into the church, the concept of the church. Again, I don't pretend to know all the ins and outs and all the details. I know those things that God sends, he allows me to know and allows me to have. And it gives me the confidence and the security and the knowledge that he allows me. So it is, then, he hath abounded towards us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will. That's part of the spiritual blessings, to be sure. According to his good pleasure, which he has purposed in himself. I think that's the key verse for this chapter, for this book. We're going to learn about these mysteries. We're going to learn of his will. We're going to learn of what he has given us. We're going to learn some of the other mysteries that we'll see later on as some of the other brethren get up and talk about it. But it's that which he has proposed in himself. We only learn this through Jesus Christ and what he has given us. But we have a responsibility, as I've said before. We have to dig and learn and study if we're going to learn more, if we're going to enter into more of what God is willing to give us. So it is. In verse 10, he starts to a section which will go on later through later, and our brother Robert will enter into some of this stuff next week too. A detailed explanation of some of the secrets of God's plans. And the first thing he talks about is salvation. In the following verses, he talks about salvation of the believing Jews. In the verses, he talks about salvation of the believing Gentiles. In the following sections, he talks about how in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel. Notice the word here is your. Back earlier, the word is our or us. A little later, he'll come back together and he'll say our in verse 14. You see, when he was talking to the believing Jews, he said, we, because he considered himself to be one of the believing Jews. When he repeated the idea and the concept, and he used the word you in verse 13, he was talking primarily towards the believing Gentiles. And he was pointing out that both of them could enter in because of what God was providing to them. But in verse 14, he says, our, the whole body together, knit together, the whole body under the same concepts, the whole body having the same responsibilities, position, and security that God would give to us. And so in these verses, we praise God for his grace. We praise God for his glory. And again, we praise God for the glory that he has given unto us. So then, in this first section of the book that we're studying, we see our position. And we're there only because of what Christ has accomplished and because we believe and we take it in and we accept it for ourselves. If you believe, you have eternal life. If you don't believe, you have not eternal life. Oh, might there not be anyone in our midst this morning that would know God's way of salvation, would know that his Son has died for them, would know that he died that we might live again, that you would take his Christ and your Savior. And so it is that the apostle has written unto us, and he has showed us the many blessings that we get, that we receive from God, knowing that this is the eternal plan of God from an eternity past to an eternity future. And he wants anyone, whosoever will, to enter in, knowing that we're predestined as his sons and his heirs, that we have a special place in God's plan for those who believe and have accepted him as their Savior. That we not only have redemption towards him, but that we are able to act according to his good pleasure and fulfill his purposes, and to teach forth those things that he would have us to teach forth to the unsaved and the world around us, to have the responsibility of living our own lives. These are all blessings that we have from Christ, because Christ died for us. Well, first, because of God had planned it such. Secondly, because Christ died for us. Thirdly, because we believe and have taken it in, and we seek to fulfill his will in our lives. Shall we look to the Lord for a moment of prayer? Thanksgiving. Our Father, we do thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you, our Father, that you sent your only Son, that you, our Father, recognized that man had sinned, man had turned against you, and yet you wanted to have a body, a place for them, that they would be able to come to you, to fellowship with you, but come in a way that their sins would be remembered no more. So you sent the Lord Jesus Christ to die on Calvary's cross. And now everyone who will believe, everyone who will accept Christ as their personal Savior, can know their sins forgiven, can know they have a home in heaven, can know they can serve the Lord Jesus Christ. So we pray that there might not be any who would reject this great offer of mercy, this great offer, our Father, based on grace. It is freely given that we might be saved. Guide us and direct us as we go from this place. In Jesus' name, amen.